Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Like, say I want to see what you're doing and who you're hanging with, and you're not posting about it on your story. I can just stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. You do that?
No, I don't do that. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages and keep it between friends, and then use that money to buy something at a store with Apple Pay.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Maybe.
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret's just arrived collection of swim and other sun ready silhouettes. Pack your bags with new styles from the Very Sexy collection, like the made to be seen Very Sexy push up bra, in on trend hues like green and citron and black shine. Rewind to the future with the VS Archives swim collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. Plus, mix and match with their wide range of bikini tops and bottoms to find your dream suit. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriasecret.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Criminalia, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
John Healy was not a real doctor. Charles Bigelow was never a scout in the United States Army. And the products they sold weren't actually based on healing secrets of the Kickapoo people. Yet, the two men made a fortune from their Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company patent medicines, which, while named for them, not a single Kickapoo was even vaguely involved with the company and its remedies. The story of Healy and Bigelow is one of quackery, lies, cultural appropriation, and wait, did we call out the cultural appropriation? Yes? Okay. We should also point out that while inclusive language continues to evolve, we will be quoting excerpts that contain outdated terminology. So here we go. Welcome to Criminalia. I'm Maria Tremarke.
And I'm Holly Fry. Let's talk for a moment about who the Kickapoo people are before we talk about how their name was wildly misappropriated by two con artists trying to sell quack medicine to white Americans around the turn of the 20th century. Historically speaking, original Kickapoo homes were wooden, bark-covered structures, wigwams. Villages were semi-permanent encampments strategically built near agricultural areas and large tracts of agricultural lands. During the winter months, small groups would set up temporary hunting camps. They had a reputation as formidable warriors. The word Kickapoo can be translated as wanderer, and despite the Kickapoo people not being a nomadic tribe, Kickapoo Indians did move a lot. Their roots lie in the present-day Great Lakes region in Lower Michigan. But conflict with European colonists, conflict with the Haudenosaunee over hunting grounds, and conflict with the United States government over land drove them as far south as the Mexican state of Coahuila. Today, there remain three federally recognized Kickapoo tribes in the United States: the Kickapoo tribe of Oklahoma, the Kickapoo traditional tribe of Texas, and the Kickapoo tribe of Indians of the Kickapoo Reservation in Kansas. Okay, so now that we know really just the teeniest, tiny, surface-level bit about the Kickapoo people, we will talk about how they actually had absolutely nothing at all to do with this story.
Texas Charlie, as Charles Bigelow was known, grew up on a farm in Texas. But the story he told about his life was, well, it was total nonsense that never actually happened. His version went like this. As an Army scout patrolling what he called, quote, Native American territories, he contracted a fever that left him weak and heavily fatigued. He recalled a tribal chief, though sometimes when he told this story, this person was a medicine man, took pity on him and gave him a medicine called, quote, sagwa. It worked, and Bigelow asked if he could have the recipe. The tale goes, the chief sent 5 tribal medicine men to accompany Bigelow back east, where, together, they created Kickapoo sagwa. And it became the so-called magic elixir he went on to sell at medicine shows across the United States. Now, that story may have been untrue, but for a very long time, it was the accepted origin story for his popular elixir, Kickapoo sagwa.
In the 1850s, Bigelow had begun peddling patent medicine across the country. But he didn't see skyscraper levels of success until 1881, when he joined up with a man named John Doc Healy. Healy, who had no medical training, had served as a drummer boy in the Union Army during the American Civil War, and he was then the proprietor of a traveling theatrical troupe called Healy's Hibernian Minstrels. Like Bigelow, he dabbled in patent medicines and was the inventor and pitchman of a dubious liniment that he'd named King of Pain. When he and Bigelow teamed up, money-making magic happened for the pair. They fabricated what would be their flagship product, the fake, quote, Indian medicine, Kickapoo sagwa. And Healy had a promotional plan. They would use traveling medicine shows to hawk bottles of sagwa and their other patent medicine products. Edward Oliver Tilburn, known best as Nevada Ned Oliver, or Dr. N.T. Oliver, was a veteran con artist, and he was hired as a pitchman by Healy and Bigelow. He later recalled, quote, "The plan was to hire a few Indians, rent a storeroom, and have the medicine simmering like a witch's brew in a great iron pot inside a teepee." And that's a pretty accurate description of how things went.
The Kickapoo sagwa brand name was registered by the Healy and Bigelow Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company at the United States Patent Office in July of 1882. Healy set up the first Kickapoo office and product showroom in Providence, Rhode Island, then moved it to Manhattan, before settling on space in New Haven, Connecticut in 1887. He secured a huge warehouse and decorated it with indigenous American cliches, things like teepees, spears, and other stereotypical objects. And because the Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company didn't care about these cultures, they played a bit of mix and match from any and all tribes for what they considered to be props. The company would grow to become one of the largest of its kind on the medicine show circuit, eventually employing upwards of 300 indigenous Americans, while other Indian medicine shows, as the niche was known, paid white actors to perform in red face. Those playing tribal characters for the Kickapoo shows were hired primarily from the Haudenosaunee tribes. As if we could forget, we'll say it again. None of the company's employees were Kickapoo people.
The Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company's best-selling product was the sagwa elixir. It was advertised as being made from a secret tribal recipe containing, quote, roots, herbs, barks, gums, leaves, and buffalo fat. And much like other patent medicines at the time, it didn't much contain the things it claimed. Its actual active ingredients were rhubarb, capsicum, mandrake, guaiacum, and salsoda. Or another alternate list of sagwa ingredients reads as, quote, a vegetable compound with bicarbonate of soda composed of uba ursi, mandrake, mayapple, rhubarb, senna, anise seed, coriander seed, cinchona bark, yellow dock, burdock, dandelion, cascara, licorice, and aloes. Regardless of which was or wasn't the accurate list, or maybe they both were, the one significant active ingredient missing from both lists, but very much contained in the sagwa, was a whole lot of unregulated alcohol. It was the star of the elixir's content.
This was definitely not an ingredients list put together by a real traditional healer. The whole premise here, though, was that Healy and Bigelow wanted you to think that only the Kickapoo people knew exactly what went into their remedies. The pair wanted you to think the ingredients were shipped to New Haven, where they were then combined into a mixture by the, quote, wisest of Kickapoo Indian medicine men who had left the reservation to serve Healy and Bigelow and the cause of health. Now, that sounds a lot like Bigelow's fake origin story for sagwa, doesn't it? So on its packaging, Sagwa claimed the following uses: cures dyspepsia, sick headache, sour stomach, loss of appetite, heartburn, depression, neuralgia, female disorders, liver complaint, constipation, indigestions, rheumatism, impure blood, jaundice, fever, and all diseases of the stomach, liver, kidneys, and the blood.
We're going to take a break for a word from our sponsors, and when we're back, we'll talk about the Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company's traveling medicine show and who they hired to perform. Hey, everybody, it's Holly. Listen, I've been doing stuff on stage since I was a kid, which means that I have been doing my makeup since I was a kid. And I can turn out a look when I need to, but on my day-to-day, I really like to keep it a little more relaxed and low-key. I don't have time for a full face most of the time. But that also means that Thrive Cosmetics can have me covered no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm doing something on stage, like I have an appearance or a live show, or I'm just running to the grocery store. Something in their line is perfect. And what I really love and what's important to me is that they are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free. And to me, cruelty-free is very important in the cosmetics I use. I mentioned that I've been doing my makeup for a long time. I've gotten older in that time. And one of the things that I've done to refresh my look is switch over to their Brilliant Eye Brighteners and use something like a rose gold shade to really like go all around my eye and then just blend it out and get a daytime smoky look. It makes me look a little more youthful and more refreshed. And it's just easy as pie, and it means that I don't have to mess with a whole ton of products. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/criminalia. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/criminalia for 10% off your first order. This episode is brought to you by SimpliSafe. Listen, you listen to true crime podcasts, you know that the world can be dangerous and unpredictable and that there will unfortunately be people who want to hurt each other. And so it's kind of nice to get a little peace of mind by having a good home security system. Just take a few precautions. And I recommend looking at SimpliSafe Home Security. I've had my home broken into in the past and it was a terrible feeling, even though nothing that bad really happened. Aside from an intruder, I just really like knowing that I have a security setup that lets me check in on my pets when I'm not home. That is a huge peace of mind giver when I am out traveling. SimpliSafe sent me a whole home security system, and I was really, really impressed by the variety of indoor and outdoor cameras they offer. And the whole thing is backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/criminalia. That's SimpliSafe, SimpliSafe.com/criminalia. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Welcome back to Criminalia. So grab your bottle of Sagwa. We've got some traveling to do with the Kickapoo Indian Medicine Show.
What we haven't really talked about in detail yet is the wildly problematic traveling medicine show that was put together by the Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company. Historian Stuart Holbrook wrote in his 1959 book, The Golden Age of Quackery, that Healy and Bigelow were, quote, the Barnum and Bailey of the medicine show business. And he kind of nailed them with that description. Healy and Bigelow made a fortune with the combination of the appeal of miracle cure-alls with the theatrics that you would find at Barnum Circus and Buffalo Bill's Wild West shows. From their headquarters in Connecticut, the pair created troops of indigenous Americans, white vaudeville performers, and fast-talking pitchmen who posed as doctors to stage shows across America. And these shows became really popular forms of entertainment, and the company sold a lot of Kickapoo Sagwa. They also promoted and sold related spin-off products, including Kickapoo Buffalo Salve, Kickapoo Indian Cough Cure, Kickapoo Pills, and Kickapoo Indian Worm Killer.
Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company representatives traveled ahead of the show to the target city, where they would set up advanced publicity for an upcoming show. Now, this wasn't a few posters around town. Rallies were held in front of drugstores to promote the company's products and to promote the event. Special window displays were set up in stores with event-related print advertisements and samples of the product line on display. Typically, people of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy were hired to appear at these rallies to really, truly, absolutely, positively, without a doubt, convince the audience of the alleged authenticity of the company and its so-called Indian remedies.
Nevada Ned Oliver, who we mentioned earlier, booked and managed traveling shows across the country for the Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company in the 1880s. In addition to his job as show manager, in his spare time, he also wrote cowboy detective crime novels. Ned was also the, quote, head scout of the Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company, and was usually seen wearing buckskins and a wide-brimmed hat as he went about his work. Early Kickapoo medicine shows began as fairly modest events. You could expect a few indigenous people would perform allegedly native dances, a few white singers and acrobats would entertain the crowd, and a fake doctor such as Nevada Ned would preach the good news of Sagwa and serve as master of ceremonies.
Years later, Ned described the shows in a magazine article, recalling, quote, "The show customarily began with the introduction of each of the Indians by name, together with some personal history. Five of the six would grunt acknowledgments. The sixth would make an impassioned speech in Kickapoo, interpreted by me. It was a most edifying oration as I translated it. What the brave actually said, I never knew, but I had reason to fear that it was not the noble discourse of my translation, for even the poker faces of his fellow savages sometimes were convulsed." No matter what the performer said, and no matter what language it may have been said in, Ned's translation described all the ways the products of the Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company were miracle cures, and why you should go home with some today.
As these shows gained popularity, Healy and Bigelow upgraded. They placed teepees around the stage, powwows were mimicked, so-called war dances were performed, tomahawks were waved, there was the loud beating of tom-toms, and fake cowboy and Indian conflicts acted out. Basically, every tropey thing you can think of was included in the show. White performers now included singers and acrobats, along with contortionists, comedians, and fire eaters. Occasionally, Texas Charlie himself appeared in front of the crowd, donning a theatrically perched cowboy hat. Billed allegedly as the world champion rifle shooter, Bigelow would demonstrate his expert marksmanship, and he would tell embellished and fabricated stories of his life, including the fake origin story of Sagwa. During and after the main event, which was the sales pitch, assistants would move through the crowd to sell the goods, and from time to time, these assistants would yell out, "All sold out, doctor!" as a way to motivate more sales. It was a good use of the artificial scarcity tactic at work. Admission to see these problematic caricature shows was a dime.
Healy and Bigelow were so successful and widely known, they secured an endorsement from Buffalo Bill Cody, who was busy running his own very popular and very racist show about white settlers conquering indigenous, quote, savages. In his endorsement, Bill stated that, quote, "Kickapoo Indian Sagwa is the only remedy the Indians ever use and has been known to them for ages. An Indian would as soon be without his horse, gun, or blanket as without Sagwa." The truth, of course, was no indigenous American used Sagwa, and there was certainly no connection between the Kickapoo and these products. But the white community that knew that secret didn't care to change it.
Healy and Bigelow certainly did not invent the traveling medicine show, but they were really skilled at maximizing it to turn a profit. The pair also were not the first to appropriate indigenous cultures for their own gain. There were other Indian medicine shows on the traveling circuit at the same time. The Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company, though, was one of the two biggest in the entire United States.
By the 1890s, Healy and Bigelow were dispatching more than a dozen Kickapoo medicine shows across the United States every summer. Larger troops encamped and played for weeks in big cities, staging elaborate shows in tents that had upwards of 3,000 seats. Wrote theater historian Brooks McNamara in Step Right Up, his 1975 book about the history of medicine shows, quote, "Later, there were aerial acts, a great deal of Irish and blackface comedy, and such exotic novelties as the scutorial songsters, who performed while gliding around the stage on roller skates, and Jackley, the only table performer on earth who turned somersaults on a pile of tables that extended 25 feet in the air." So, big city or small town, these shows included at least a dozen performances, each interrupted for three or four pitches by the master of ceremonies for Kickapoo Sagwa.
We're going to take a break for a word from our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll talk about another problematic piece of the Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company: their use of cultural appropriation and racist stereotypes in their advertising materials.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim, cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes. When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles, like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy Push-Up Bra from the Very Sexy Collection, in on-trend hues like Black Shine, Green, and Citron. For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat. Because life is better in a bikini. Rewind to the future with the VS Archive Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage, from full to cheeky to minimal. And now, in this season's must-have shades and patterns, add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Welcome back to Criminalia. Let's talk about how Healy and Bigelow made their products seem exotic to their audiences with user testimonies and, primarily, cultural appropriation.
The cultural appropriation and racial stereotypes used to promote some patent medicines was intended to make the products seem exotic and other to white American communities. In the 19th century, it had become kind of trendy for Americans to read up on the secrets of tribal medicine and how they might use these so-called natural remedies for themselves. The Indian Guide to Health and the Indian Doctor's Dispensary, for instance, was a popular selling book. If you were the villain in this story, it was the time to capitalize on what cultural appropriation could do for you financially. In a statement by the company regarding their name choice, Healy and Bigelow claimed, quote, "We have called our remedies Indian. Now, this is a dangerous word. It is so liable to be abused. If it is honest and true, it is a glorious word, but it has so often been assumed by quacks and charlatans to cover gross humbug and fraud that people are right in demanding that what they buy for Indian is truly so and not an imposition." So that whole statement sort of falls under the old adage that every accusation is a confession.
The Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company advertised and marketed their products as made by, quote, wise medicine men, when in reality, the people behind the products were two white American men seeking to capitalize on specific racial imagery. A four-page advertisement ran in the company publication, The Kickapoo Indian Guide to Health and Longevity in 1900, for instance, and laid out what Kickapoo medicines could cure, but also included problematic language such as this, quote, "The Kickapoo Indians are now traveling with their medicine men, squaws, and papooses in the various cities and villages throughout the United States, in the wintertime in camping in public halls, and in the summertime in tents or wigwams. To illustrate Indian life and habits, they give free exhibitions of the scalp, buffalo, war, and other dances." And I'm going to do this as an aside to say that is in all caps in this advertisement. "And many other wonderful and curious features of the Aboriginal tribes of the Far West. Also, actual exhibitions of medicine making, showing how the Kickapoo remedies are made and prepared from roots, herbs, barks, etc."
Crowds of people kept coming to their shows. And most importantly, to the bottom line, they kept buying Kickapoo products. Testimonials of those who had tried the Kickapoo products were published in the very popular almanac of the early 20th century, Dr. D. Jane's Medical Almanac and Guide to Health. One testimonial used in company promotional materials was as follows, and maybe brace if you're squeamish. Quote, "I have been troubled for years with a disease that baffled the doctors. I finally bought and took one 25-cent box of Kickapoo Indian Worm Killer, and soon enough, to my great astonishment, I passed a tapeworm measuring, head and all, a full 50 feet.
With that kind of success, Healy and Bigelow both purchased mansions near Kickapoo's Connecticut headquarters.
In addition to promoting Kickapoo Sagwa at medicine shows, the company also made their product line available at local drugstores. They also began advertising their products as pseudo-news reports in local newspapers. These were professionally written stories and testimonials that appeared to be news stories, and they touted such things as, quote, "the belief among many white Americans that the Indian was a natural physician who possessed secrets unknown to the white man." Articles were placed prominently in newspapers, along with advertisements promoting when the medicine shows would be in town.
Their promotional materials and their traveling shows were used to give some so-called native legitimacy to their products and lumped all indigenous cultures into a racist symbol they used over and over in their patent medicine advertising materials. Faces, identities, traditions, they were all appropriated for the profit of white American manufacturers like Healy and Bigelow. The Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company advertised its remedies as all natural and therefore harmless, which is basically the company line for all patent medicine manufacturers, but that its products also had a powerful ability to help people, quote, achieve total well-being. An exploitation of the stereotypical image of the, quote, noble savage, a well-known trope of an indigenous person who has not been corrupted by white American civilization and who is living in harmony with nature.
If you've been with us so far this season, guess what our favorite character is coming to the table? The Pure Food and Drug Act of 1906 shows itself again in this story. But by the time the act was passed, Healy had already sold his half of the company to Bigelow. The company's official response to the crackdown was to claim that, as a result of printing the ingredients of its products on their package labels, Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company remedies should not be regarded as, quote, patent medicines. And they also claimed they were also then exempt from the act. They even went as far as to state in an advertising spread the greatness of the Food and Drug Act, saying, quote, "one of the most beneficial laws ever enacted in the United States is the Pure Food and Drug Act of June 30th, 1906. That has put out of business more fake patent medicines and so-called remedies containing dangerous drugs than anything else that was ever done in this country. The implication here was that they, in their company, were above all of that.
Though no Kickapoo product shipments were seized for federal testing under the act, at least not that we know of, the company was impacted by it when its Kickapoo cough cure was declared misbranded in 1911. And it happened for three reasons. One, because it contained a large percentage of alcohol that the bottle's label failed to disclose. Two, it was labeled a, quote, cough cure when there was no evidence it had those curative effects. And three, while the label claimed the remedy possessed properties recognized as appropriate treatment of lung diseases, the product did not list such active ingredients. Surprisingly, there was no fourth reason, but the ingredients list makes it seem like maybe there should have been. The first ingredient was, unexpectedly at least to us, tar.
After Bigelow sold the company for $250,000 in 1912, its new owner continued selling Kickapoo Sagwa in local drugstores, but ended the traveling medicine shows. Bigelow moved to England, where he kept his hand in the game, because there he manufactured an elixir that was remarkably similar to Sagwa, and he called it Kimco, that's K-I-M-C-O, a nod to the initials of the Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company.
This is a terrible story. Let's have a cure.
Yes. This drink is very yummy. And it does something really interesting. I was thinking specifically about the ways that things in many of the patent medicines we've talked about this season are combined with other things that completely hide any of their flavors, so you can't pick them out. So this is a really interesting, to me anyway, drink because it has some flavors that it shouldn't. Like, the things combined together to make a flavor that you're like, how does it taste like that? And things that you think are going to drive the bus have, you can't taste them at all. So.
Well, now I'm super intrigued by this drink.
Listen, did I want to call this drink Worm Killer just for fun? Yes. It's not going to kill any worms, but that's what we're calling it because it's funny.
It's got to be lighthearted here or this is just never going to work out.
It's lighthearted. And this is, I will tell you at the top, if you make it the way I am describing making it, it is a seasonal thing, but there is a workaround if the ingredient in question is not in season for you. The first thing we're going to do to make Worm Killer is to make rhubarb syrup. So for rhubarb syrup, super easy, a cup of water, a cup of sugar, and dice up 2 to 3 stalks of rhubarb.
I am super excited that this drink has rhubarb in it. I am a big fan.
Me too.
Yeah.
I love rhubarb, and it's very funny. I will tell you a side story, which is that I went to the grocery store this morning to get some because I have been checking and keeping my eye on when it was coming out, and it apparently just got put on the shelf because there was no signage for it. And when I went to check out, the person at the checkout who I see all the time went, oh, no. What is this? And I was like, it's rhubarb. And she was like, oh, okay. It was in the system. It just hadn't all caught up, but it's rhubarb time. And when I say you're going to dice it, basically, like if you cut it all the way along the long length into 2 pieces, the stalks, and then you cut those into like half inch pieces, you're pretty good. You're going to throw that together. You're going to let it simmer. You may have a moment early on where you're like, is this going to do anything? Because rhubarb is so stiff when you first put it in and it's going to stay stiff for a little while. And then all of a sudden it gets gooshy and you're like, oh, this syrup has turned pink and now all of the rhubarb is very soft. I think I made syrup. So let that cool. Strain off your rhubarb. Don't throw that out. As we often say when we're making any kind of fruit syrup this way, you can keep that and put it on ice cream. You can put it on toast. You can put it on anything. It is so yummy. But for now, we want that rhubarb syrup. As the workaround, if rhubarb is out of season where you are, or you just maybe your stores don't carry it, you can order rhubarb syrup online. Most of the time, it's going to be a rhubarb strawberry situation. That's great, but for this, you want to keep it rhubarby. Okay, and now we can make our drink. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Into your shaking tin. You're going to put 3/4 of an ounce of fresh squeezed lime juice. I say fresh squeezed. Look, if you only want to deal with the bottle, great. It's not going to be as delicious or bright, but that's fine. I'm not going to judge you. 3/4 of an ounce of this delicious rhubarb syrup, which means you're going to have a lot left over to do yummy things with. 1.5 ounces of Reposado tequila. And then a splash, and I'm talking about a splash, of Anisette. Less than 1/4 ounce, just the tiniest bit. And I know you're thinking, I hate licorice flavor. Don't sweat it. It's not going to be an issue. You are going to shake this all together with ice. Put your ice in last because you don't want to dilute any of the flavors until you're actually doing it. You want to minimize dilution so you don't put the ice in before you pour your ingredients. You're going to shake it. You're going to strain it into a glass over fresh ice. And then you're going to top it with ginger beer. Okay, we have not made a margarita. However, when you sip it, something about this combination of ingredients gives you the sensation of the salty flavor you get if you have a salt-rimmed margarita. Look, I don't know the science behind it. I don't know how that works, but it does. It's very interesting, and it's really delicious. This is a great one if you don't like a particularly sweet cocktail. If you like a drink that's a little less sugary, even though I used regular ginger beer in it, I didn't use sugar-free on this one, it still didn't taste super sweet because that even though the rhubarb syrup is sweet, the rhubarb flavor is different than other fruit flavors. So you're not getting like that cloying fruit sweetness. You're getting a different kind of sweetness that has a little bit of sharpness in it. It's a yummers. This is a super yummy, nummy one. And if you're not a tequila person, I mean, it does taste a little like a margarita, but it's not, to my palate, a hard tequila flavor. The tequila is not shining through. Mostly you're like, what is going on in this drink? I, of course, taste tested with my favorite guinea pig. And he was like, I don't know what's in this, but it is very yummy. And I was like, great.
That's all you need.
Check it off. You can go back about your business, sir. So that is Worm Killer. To make a mocktail of this is really, really easy. Because what we're going to do, keep your lime juice, you keep your rhubarb syrup. Obviously, we're not including the tequila. You are going to put a splash of licorice syrup if you have it, and then you'll do your ginger beer. But this is one where it is not optional. I often say it is optional. You want to put about 5 to 7 drops of saline in it. So basically your salt. Different people like different proportions to make a saline that's made for cocktails. I'm very much in the 1 part to 4 parts, 1 part salt to 4 parts water. For me, that seems exactly right, but you can play with it, see what you like. Other people like more of 1 part to 5 parts, some like 1 part to 2 or 3 parts if they really like salt. But that just brings all those flavors together. Obviously, you're using a salt at this point, so you're not creating the same magic trick, but it tastes very close to the original drink and is pretty yummy. Again, not going to rid you of any worms, but we're calling it Worm Killer just the same. And I will tell you that I resisted temptation here for a couple of reasons, because I was looking over this story and the rhubarb jumped out at me because we have never used rhubarb in a drink to the best of my recollection.
I don't think we have. No.
But unfortunately, the thing I initially thought of is something I purchased on a whim recently, which is a rhubarb gin. But I promised we weren't going to keep doing gin because we've done gin a few times as of late.
True.
And I don't know if everybody can get that gin, but anybody can make rhubarb syrup or get some online.
Right.
But rhubarb gin might be trickier to get a hold of. But I might do a version of it with that and see what happens.
Gotta try.
In any case.
Now we need to know.
I hope if you're experimenting at home with this drink or others, and again, try switching things out. If a drink you really like has a spirit you don't like, switch out the spirits and see how it tastes. Often it will be delicious. We will keep bringing you more drinks like this that you can play mix and match and build your own adventure. We will be right back here next week with another such item and another story of snake oil.
Crimin' Criminalia is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, please visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.